The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Tomorrow night, 7 Eastern on ESPN, battle of two first-place teams. Red Sox visit Citi Field to take on the Mets. That's tomorrow here on ESPN. And with that, I welcome you back to another hour of Get Up, coming to you live, as always, from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. I am Greeny. We are jam-packed. We got two poll questions up there. One of them is about pie for breakfast. We are busy. Let's go. It's time to get up with the week we've been waiting for. T-minus 3 days and counting, and the Niners are close to making their choice. We've got the very latest on the very top of the draft. Meanwhile, the Patriots figure to be in the middle of most of it, including a huge trade involving a superstar player. We will tell you who. And then I'll tell you the one thing that nobody will do that absolutely everybody should on day one of the draft. That's on the way. Let's get up, starting right now. By jumping ahead to Friday, we're 3 days from the draft. So let's jump to Friday when we are putting up the headlines. Dominique Foxworth, I'm starting with you. What is going to be the headline coming out of round one of the NFL draft Friday morning?
I think the Packers are going to draft a receiver, and they're going to continue to try to make up for drafting a quarterback a couple years ago. They're trying to win back Aaron Rodgers' heart. They're going to give him the thing that he's been looking for and hoping they would give him for a while, and they haven't yet. They're going to find one of these receivers in this very deep receiver draft and put him out there across from Adams, and Aaron Rodgers may have another MVP-level run.
Terrace Marshall, Elijah Moore, Kadarius Toney are some options there. Tim, what's the headline going to be Friday?
The 49ers take Trey Lance. Look, I said it earlier that I'll believe it when I see it. And, you know, there's been all this Mac Jones talk. There seems to be a little bit more of a, like, unless it's not Mac Jones and it's maybe Trey Lance. To me, I am trusting my eyes a little bit on this one, saying, look, if you're going to move up 9 spots, it better be a guy that has got immense potential. That would be Lance.
Yeah, listen, I've been with you on that one all along. How about you, Diana? What's the headline going to be Friday morning?
Yeah, Tim, you have a future in headline writing. This Friday, if I had to just guess what my headline would be, it would be that the Denver Broncos trade with the Atlanta Falcons to go grab a quarterback, and that quarterback is going to be Justin Fields, Greeny.
So let the record show that last week I did a mock draft on this program, and I had the 49ers taking Trey Lance at 3, and I had the Broncos trading up to 4 with Atlanta to take Justin Fields. So you guys are right along my lines here. But Diana, let's go back.
Did Stephen Jones see your mock draft?
Let's get a lot. There's a lot we got to get to here. So let's dive into it. Diana, I want to start with 3 because Tim just said he believes Lance. You have the latest on the San Francisco 49ers and their decision making at 3. Go.
Yeah, no decision, Mike. So Tim's argument that they should go with a different quarterback than Mac Jones is fair because Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are mulling over the tape, the information, trying to figure out what they want to do. We know they traded up to get a quarterback, right? So they've got some control because they could potentially get the third best quarterback in this draft. But who's that quarterback? They thought it was going to be Mac Jones. But then they started to see pro days. They watched more film. They did more homework. They got and collected more information. So now here they're at, a few days out, and I was told that they have yet to make a decision who they're going to pick on Thursday at that number 3 spot for a quarterback.
All right, so that is going to completely shape the top of this draft one way or the other. But what we do know is that it will be a quarterback. We know that with as much certainty as you can know anything at this stage. So, Dominique, let me then come to you. Because that will then set up Atlanta with a very interesting situation. They'll really have 3 options as I see it. One of them is take a quarterback to be Matt Ryan's heir apparent. The next is trade out, as Diana just suggested, to someone who might want to take a quarterback. And the third is to take Kyle Pitts, the tight end, who many people believe is the best player in the entire draft. What do you think, Dominique, they should do?
Well, I think that it depends on the trade-out offer. If they can find somebody thirsty enough that they can take advantage of them, please, by all means, do that. But I think that is a bit of a cop-out, just say trade back. So in that situation, I think I'd go for Pitts and go all in on this roster that they have now and maybe try to out-offense everybody, because that is their only hope, and return Matt Ryan to that MVP-level Super Bowl-losing Matt Ryan that we saw a few years ago.
How about you, Tim? If you're making that decision, considering Ryan, his situation, his future, new coach, new coaching staff, new general manager, what would you do in Atlanta?
Draft a quarterback. It's actually an easy one for me. You know, Matt Ryan's had three straight seasons without a winning record in Atlanta. He's 36 years old. And when, you know, we speak about the new leadership in Atlanta between Arthur Smith, new general manager as well, look, you need to be good in a couple of years. You don't need to be good this season. And so rather than having, you know, 3 years from now, a 39-year-old Matt Ryan and trying to address the quarterback situation and maybe picking around pick 20, that's not what you need to do. You're picking way up at the top of the draft, select your quarterback. Matt Ryan could still be your starter this season. And then, quite honestly, you're in a much better spot when you need to be good if you're the new leadership in Atlanta. And so I think it's quarterback all the way for the Falcons.
What do you think, Nick?
Yeah, I think the general manager there is Terry Fontenot, and I think that I have to be honest. I think Tim's rationale is better than mine. Like, I'm leaning towards changing my decision. But the best case scenario for everything, I think, that trumps all this is trade back. Because someone needs a quarterback, and you could absolutely get the farm from a team like Denver. I think that's what they should do, and try to build up an organization that is ready for a quarterback. Far too often, we see quarterbacks put in organizations that aren't yet ready for them, and then they all fail.
Right, which would, however, go back to what Tim just said a moment ago about the possibility of drafting one and having him sit behind Ryan for a year or two, depending on how that situation plays out. Diana, obviously, it also will come down to how they look at the quarterbacks. We all look at them somewhat differently. Three guys will be gone. So Atlanta doesn't get to choose which one of the five they want.
Yeah, Greeny, I'm actually covering the Falcons on draft night. They're my team, so I'll be with you on Thursday. And I can tell you, they have attended every single quarterback pro day. Every one of them, they've had a representative there. So they obviously have interest in a quarterback. And I was told they have their eye on one. If he's there, they will take him. If he's not, they are very open to trading back to collect more picks. But I love that we're bringing up the Kyle Pitts element here, okay? Because you talk about the Tennessee Titans offense. They use their tight ends. This is something that Arthur Smith is obviously comfortable with. We saw when Delanie Walker was even there in Tennessee. So Atlanta really has a plethora of options here that could all really work for them. I was told, though, in terms of their feelings about Matt Ryan, they think he still has years left in him. They still think he can play. So this isn't a new regime coming in, you know, with Arthur Smith going, I need to find my Ryan Tannehill right now. They believe in Matt Ryan. So this could be something where if the trade is enough or they're getting the right amount, they may be willing to trade back. But I was told that Atlanta's asking price is very high.
Well, sure. And I mean, it's a fascinating thing because I think it really comes down as much as anything to how close do you think you are to winning? Kyle Pitts looks like he's going to be a great player, but I'm going to use the word frivolous. That's a terrible word to attach to a young prospect, but that's the guy that you draft to try and put you over the top, right? We keep talking about that with Dallas. Atlanta, Dominique, that close to doing something special?
That would be considered hood-rich drafting. What we've talked about before, Greeny, is that you start buying rims for a car that is not quite ready to have rims just yet. But I don't think Kyle Pitts is that. I think he is so special that he can be the engine of an offense. I understand that if you get a guy who you think is going to take your offense to the next level, Kyle Pitts is the type of guy that you can put in and build around for a long future, and it'll be attractive for any young quarterback that you bring in going forward.
That was the better analogy. The car needs an engine. Can that guy be the engine? Stay tight, guys. We got lots to do. And by the way, the poll questions are up today. We will get to those in just a couple of minutes. But first, let's get you to some of the highlights from yesterday in sports. Spectacular comeback last night. Dodgers, Padres, Fernando Tatis Jr. on Sunday Night Baseball. What a series this was. In particular, for that man. That's Tatis facing Dustin May with a sinker that didn't sink. That's his fifth home run in three games at Dodger Stadium this weekend. It's a 2-1 Dodger lead. Now it's 4-1 in the sixth. Dodgers have one out and two on for Chris Taylor. And Chris Taylor has just left the building. Off Nick Ramirez, Dodgers take a 7-1 lead. It's safe, right? Wrong. Top of nine, it's 7-6. Manny Machado is at the plate. Runners are at the corners. Against the shift, singles it back up the middle. Hits it where they ain't. Tatis scores. We're tied up at 7. To the 10th we go. Bottom of 10. The Dodgers bench is thin. So Clayton Kershaw comes up to pinch hit with the bases loaded. Oh, what a story that would have been. But Tim Hill gets him swinging. And then he gets DJ Peters. So they get out of the inning. Oh, the intensity. We go to the 11th. Top of the frame. Tatis and Grisham on base after a leadoff walk. Padres, double steal. Oh, they do it. Sneaky Padres. Two runners in scoring position. Two batters later, Eric Hosmer is at the plate. Eric Hosmer sends that one deep enough to get Tatis home with what proves to be the winning run. 8-7, your final. San Diego takes 3 out of 4 in the series, and that comeback was epic. Entering the 7th inning, our friends at Caesars Sportsbook had the Padres at 20-1 to win. Teams that were trailing by 6 or more runs entering the 7th inning were 0-49 this season until last night. Meanwhile, the performance of the night belonged to Steph Curry. What a month Steph had. Warriors hosting the Kings. Steph needed 5 threes last night to break the record for three-pointers in a calendar month. And look, only for Steph Curry is this a good possession. Off his foot, 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second, bam. Steph Curry would score 37 points last night on his way to setting a new record for threes in a calendar month. There's another one that only he considers to be a good shot. That's a 36-footer. He scored 37. He breaks the record with 2 games to play for most threes in a calendar month. Fourth quarter, here's where the game is decided. Look at Steph on the defensive end with the rejection on Rashawn Holmes. Kings, meanwhile, down 2. Final seconds, get one more chance. Harrison Barnes, and it's no good. That one's wide. Steph leading the way. Warriors get the win, 117-113. Coming up, the clock is ticking on Bill Belichick and the Patriots. Should he make a huge trade to draft one of these guys? We'll tell you next. Plus, who could slide and end up being the steal of the entire NFL draft? Dominique Foxworth will answer that question and more as we continue. And again, today's whole question is a pretty straightforward one. Who do you believe the 49ers should take with the 3rd pick in this draft? There are the 3 quarterbacks, Jones, Fields, and Lance. Even more straightforward, this is an argument started between Dominique Foxworth and Mel Kiper. Which way are you going, pumpkin pie or sweet potato pie? Right now, Mel's side is winning. Dominique, you need to rally the troops. We'll continue in a moment. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions from you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
I look forward to this all week. This is where I will ask a series of hard-hitting, provocative questions to Dominique Foxworth, and whether he wants to or not, he has to answer them. And here's the first one. They are your arch rivals, Dominique. Will the Pittsburgh Steelers find their quarterback of the future in this draft?
I doubt it. I think that there is some hope in Pittsburgh that they might be able to move up and grab Justin Fields. But thanks to the 49ers, the price of a pick has gone up. And I don't see Kevin Colbert, who's a very savvy GM out there in Pittsburgh, I don't see him paying what the price would require to move up and get a quarterback like Justin Fields. So I think we're looking at another year with Ben Roethlisberger, and maybe they'll give Haskins some run towards the end of the year to see what they have in him. But I don't think this draft is where the Steelers find their quarterback of the future.
Yeah, there are a few other names that people should know that will go later in the draft that maybe they will like Kellen Mond or Kyle Trask, Jamie Newman, Davis Mills. It does not appear easy for them to get one of the big five. All right, next up, Nick, here's your team. Will the Ravens draft a wide receiver in round one? And if so, which one?
Oh, it'd be crazy if they could draft a quarterback. I'm going to say no. That was the easier question. I wish you would have stuck with that. But I think they probably do get a receiver. Because of that trade that they made, sending Orlando Brown Jr. out to Kansas City, they acquired their second first-round pick. And this is a very deep draft for receivers. So there'll be plenty of receivers towards the end of that draft. I see them going for a guy like Rashad Bateman. He's an outstanding playmaker. The man has two dangly earrings, which means he's full of confidence anywhere's number zero. So I love him as a prospect. I could see him landing in Baltimore towards the end of the first round and hopefully allowing Lamar Jackson to reach his potential as a passer.
I love that pick. In a draft filled with small, fast guys and big physical guys, Rashad Bateman is both. And if he had been drafted a year ago, he would have been talked about up at the top of the draft. All right, one more. Give me a player that you think could slide in this draft and thus become an absolute steal.
Yeah, I think this is along that same conversation. I think it's DeVonta Smith, because I think this draft is full of really good receivers, and he had an incredible Heisman Trophy season. And it's hard to find knocks on any of these receivers in this draft. But there's one big glaring knock on Smith, is that his size. And at 166 pounds, I think it was, a lot of teams, I believe, will talk themselves out of getting him. It doesn't matter how well he's performed. I think he's going to translate to the NFL quite well. But there are some teams in the league that will wait or look for another receiver just because they could see that as some sort of injury risk or providing some challenges for him in press coverage, which we've seen no evidence of as far as him as a college player so far.
I think that's a good call. I think if all five quarterbacks do go in the top 10, then one of the big receivers in this draft, likely either Smith or his former teammate Jalen Waddle, are the ones who wind up sliding out of that top 10. And if so, then that could become a steal. I like that pick. Meanwhile, let's talk about the Patriots. They struggled at quarterback last season. Cam Newton throwing 8 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. It was a difficult year for him. There were a lot of reasons why that may have been, but one way or another, that was a tough season. Meanwhile, since 2001, there have been 387 instances of a quarterback starting at least 15 games in a season, and Cam's 8 touchdowns were the fewest in that span. So, might the Patriots draft a quarterback in round one? Well, they haven't done that since 1993. That was the man they took back then. That was Drew Bledsoe. That was well before Bill Belichick got there, of course. Here are picks 4 through 15 in this draft. You see them there at the bottom of your screen. The Patriots are the team that is at 15. And we highlighted the ones that feel kind of open for business for you there. Maybe Atlanta's a good spot to trade up. Maybe Detroit. Maybe Carolina. This feels like it's going to be a very interesting way to play this thing out. So I guess we will start, Tim Hasselbeck, before I get to the information piece of this with Diana. Do you believe, Tim, that the Patriots need to do something aggressive and try and get themselves the quarterback of their future at the top of this draft?
I believe that they should. You know, do I believe that they need to? I get the sense that they, you know, don't want to chase a prospect that they don't love. And so if the quarterback that they really like happens to be gone, then no, they don't. But all that's to say is if the quarterback they do like, let's say they like Justin Fields, and he is going to slide a little bit, and he's not going to be, a top five pick. Well, then all of a sudden, does it make sense to get in front of Denver? Does it make sense, to get on the phone with Detroit and figure out a way to make that happen? Look, I would recommend that because I don't think Cam's the answer. I thought he would play better a year ago. He most certainly did not, and I think that's what we're going to see, from him, this coming season. So I think they need to address the position, and I think if Fields is a guy they like, I do think they should be aggressive if they can go get him.
Diana, what is the sense of what Belichick is expected to do from the people you talk to around the league?
Yeah, it's all going to depend on how much they love Justin Fields. But I think the other part of this, Greeny, that we got to think about heading into the draft is, can they afford to move up? Can they do this? And something to keep in mind, and it's a small little storyline to keep an eye on, Stephon Gilmore is in his final year of his five-year contract with the New England Patriots. He's making about $7 million this season. That's severely underpaid for the Defensive Player of the Year for 2019. The New England Patriots could perhaps deal Stephon Gilmore on draft night as part of a package to move up if they are in the business of getting a quarterback. I did speak to a team in the top 10 who told me that they have had calls with New England. So it is something that's being discussed. It's just, will it really go down and happen on Thursday night?
Well, I like that little wrinkle to throw into the conversation, Dominique, the possibility of not just trading draft picks, but maybe trading a superstar player. What do you think?
Yeah, that's really smart. Diana is on top of it because she's right about that situation. I can't see Bill Belichick committing himself to Stephon Gilmore going forward. And it reminds me a lot of what we talked about earlier with the Ravens-Chiefs trade about Orlando Brown. They knew they weren't going to be able to afford to pay two left tackles, so they traded Orlando Brown for some value. And trade rumors have been around Gilmore for this past year. So I could see that absolutely happening because then they look at it and they feel like they haven't lost much because they still have a ton of great corners on that, or not a ton, but they have enough great corners on that roster to be all right and moving up to find a quarterback, potentially a quarterback who has a similar style to Cam Newton and Justin Fields, I think would be a really smart move. Nice job, Diana.
And so I guess the question, Tim, is how high up they need to go to do it, right? Like we it's good one trade. Thing to say they'll go to
seven.
Eight. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I really think it's seven. I think that I think there's enough personal relationships as well that there could be trusted communication between the people that are in Detroit right now and the Patriots organization. And I think that's the spot. Look, it is no secret that Denver wants competition for Drew Lock at the quarterback position. Now, maybe there's not competition if you're drafting somebody in the top 10. And if Mac Jones, in fact, is the pick at three, and let's say Atlanta, you know, does go Kyle Pitts, well, then you could be sitting in a situation where it's Lance and Fields, and now all of a sudden, you know, making sure that you get up to seven in front of Denver, I think makes a lot of sense.
All right, we will see.
And in front of Carolina, obviously.
And Carolina might be another team that wants the trade back. That is definitely something to keep a close eye on. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, Dominique Foxworth, if I told you that over the weekend, someone entered the Guinness Book of World Records for catching a football that was dropped 600 feet from a helicopter, who would you guess it might be?
Yeah, it's definitely Gronk. It's an easy guess. But I feel like Gronk doesn't deserve to be in it nearly as much as the person who dropped the ball. Like, that is an accurate pass from way up there. Who knows where that ball is going to go?
They dropped a football out of a helicopter at the Arizona Spring Game. Gronk and Teddy Bruschi were the captains there. 600 feet, and he caught it. Coming up in this loaded quarterback class, we will ask the following question. Which of the top-tier guys will be the first to win the Super Bowl? It might not be who you think. The answer is on the way. Get up on ESPN. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. We are back on Get Up, and let's do best in class. Tim Hasselbeck, besides Trevor Lawrence, which of the quarterbacks in this draft would be the best to start a franchise with?
I'm going Justin Fields. You know, I just like his physical ability. I like the fact that we've seen him do it at the highest level of college football and succeed at it. He's faced some adversity. I think he checks so many boxes. I think he's a better passer than people probably have given him credit for being when you watch some of the stuff that he did at Ohio State. So for me, it's Justin Fields. And look, it was actually a fairly easy question for me.
Dominique, you're next. Which quarterback has the best chance to win Rookie of the Year?
I think it's whoever the 49ers draft, which to me is a great situation. So maybe it's going to be Trey Lance or Justin Fields, but it's looking like it's going to be Mac Jones, who's not the quarterback I would pick. But you land in that situation that has a top-of-the-league offensive line, two great weapons on the outside, possibly the best tight end in the league, and a running back that can take it to the house at any moment. That's a great situation.
I disagree with you completely and will explain why later. Meanwhile, Mel, which quarterback has the best chance to someday lead his team to the Super Bowl?
Trevor Lawrence. It's the reason why Urban Meyer took this job, was knowing he had a quarterback that could be one of the great young quarterbacks in this league. A league loaded with superstars at that position. In order to win a Super Bowl, you got to have your own top guy. He's historic. He's just not really good. He's historically great. And when you get a Trevor Lawrence, you have to believe his career, when it's all over and said and done, will probably have a minimum of 2 to 3 Super Bowls that he at least plays in.
Well, if so, then he is going to buck this trend. What you are looking at on your screen are the only 3 quarterbacks drafted in the first round since 2010 out of 34 quarterbacks with a Super Bowl ring. And you will make note of the fact that Blaine Gabbert and Carson Wentz, neither of them played in the Super Bowl. So a better way to put the stat, and it's a good way to illustrate it there, but guys, of the 34 quarterbacks who've been drafted in the first round since 2010, the only one to actually win the Super Bowl in the way that we consider it is Patrick Mahomes. So again, Mel, you make your living analyzing this stuff. And then, like, why is that? Why is it that these quarterbacks have not translated into winning championships?
Well, let's go back to where Trevor is. Trevor historically is with John Elway, won a couple. You talked about him, 3, lost, won 2. Peyton Manning won a couple. Andrew Luck probably could have, but he retired at a young age. Well, you look at where Trevor is. He's with a group that has won a lot of Super Bowls. To the point about why they haven't, I think a lot of it has to do with the organizations, the lack of continuity, the fact that we're talking about some as disappointments. Was Jared Goff a disappointment? He went to a Super Bowl and he lost. Was Wentz a disappointment? Well, yeah, he had 3 really good years. He had some injury issues. Some of these quarterbacks, Sam Darnold, has he been a bust? Well, he's going to have a chance to prove everybody wrong in Carolina. Very few teams allow the development of a quarterback to take place. And we're kicking them to the curb early on. Like, dealing with expectations, dealing with pressure on that quarterback mentally wears on them. So I think there's a lot of factors. This goes back really to 1979 when I started. Joe Montana went in the 3rd round. A quarterback went 3rd overall. Another quarterback went in the 1st. Phil Simms did as well. So Phil was really good, outstanding quarterback. And so was Joe, one of the greatest ever, and 2 busts. In 81, Rich Campbell went in the top 10. Neil Lomax went in the 2nd round. So when I started in this business in the late 70s, they hadn't figured out quarterback. And to this day, the NFL hasn't figured out quarterback. None of us have.
And one other factor, that's such a good historical perspective, but one of the things that has changed, of course, and Tim Hasselbeck, as a quarterback yourself, I would ask you to sort of weigh in on this piece of it, is that I think an unintended consequence of the rookie salary cap is that teams are more inclined to give up more quickly on quarterbacks. It used to be if you took a quarterback early and it looked like you were getting it wrong, you would waste, if you will, 5 years of your franchise trying to find a way to justify it, in part because you were paying that player so much money. Now, because the rookies are generally inexpensive, does it feel to you like teams are maybe pulling the trigger a little too quickly on giving up on these guys?
Grinny, you're exactly right. Your team, the Jets, basically, you know, just said, they said, look, we're actually just resetting financially. That's all we're doing right now. We're resetting the clock financially. It's not that we have given up on Sam Darnold. Like, it was kind of this unique admission that, yeah, things are different because of, you know, what you now, you know, pay a quarterback that you drafted in the first round. I think this, when you talk about those numbers and the 34 quarterbacks over 11 years, look, you could really only have a situation where, you know, there's only 11 Super Bowls. So your best case scenario would be a third of those guys, you know, winning a Super Bowl. But then you take a step back and you realize, you know, 4 of them have gone to Brady. So like half of these Super Bowls, you know, have gone to, you know, essentially Tom Brady. So I think you have to factor that part of it in. And then, yeah, they go to bad teams, sometimes bad organizations. And quarterback is a dependent position. Dependent on the supporting cast, depending on coaching, depending on the organization. Like, it just, it is, and it needs to be good around you.
Go ahead, Nate.
Yeah, I mean, it's a complex game. There's 22 guys on the field. The coaches put in a lot of effort. And then the playoffs is single elimination, which adds to a lot of variance. So the idea that there is a franchise changer, like those guys don't come around in the draft every year, but we treat them as if they should be because they're in the top five. So you can't drop a player into a franchise that's picking in the top five because they are bad and think that he's going to go in there and change it. Like, quarterback success or failure is more about the organization than it is about the player. All the guys who we talk about in the first round have the talent to succeed in this league. Otherwise, we would not be talking about them going in the first rounds. The guys who end up succeeding, and the history proves this out, are the guys who end up in great situations. And that's true whether you're drafted in the first round or the seventh. So that's what's going to decide how well these quarterbacks do going forward. But we're still going to 3 or 4 years from now call the players who don't succeed busts and not necessarily look at the organization and say the GM and the coaches or the players they put around them are the reason why they didn't succeed.
That's right. Look, we're in a weird place right now. The best thing you can have as a football team is Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers. The second best thing you can have is a quarterback on a rookie contract. And that's sort of the direction it's going. And that's not the way this thing should be set up to work. All right. Stay close, guys. I have much more to do with you. But we got to get to this guy. KD back and better than ever. Return of the day. Nets, Suns. KD coming off the bench. And just looks like he didn't miss a beat. Does anyone make things look easier than he does? Look at him finishing through the contact there. Third quarter, the Nets are down by one. This is a bad matchup for Chris Paul. He's got KD one-on-one, and that's just not going to end well. Kevin Durant, 33 points on 21 shots in his return. Just under 6 minutes in the game here. We're tied at 78. Kyrie Irving unties it. Nets are up by three. Kyrie had 34 points and 12 assists as we go to the fourth quarter here. That's Kyrie working it into the lane. I mentioned the assists. Here comes one of those. Irving finding Kevin Durant. Durant making it look easy. So again, Durant 33 points. Kyrie 34 points. Brooklyn just rolls on. Who's healthy? Who's not? They go out there and they win 128-119. And while he's been down for a lot of this season, while Durant has played, he's played great. He has scored 687 points in 25 games for Brooklyn this year. That's the fourth most over the last 40 seasons for a player in their first 25 games with a team. All right, coming up, I will tell you the one thing nobody will do that absolutely everybody should on day one of the draft, and Mel Kiper is going to yell at me for it. That is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
I'll say it again. I think Travis Etienne is the best running back this conference has ever seen.
Najee Harris has 5 touchdowns in the game.
Right off the gut of that Virginia defense, Travis Etienne making it look easy.
Going up high is Najee Harris and hitting pay dirt for the Alabama touchdown.
In recent years, it has become fashionable for football people to say that it's a mistake to draft a running back in the first round. Now, I have only one issue with that philosophy, and that is that it's completely wrong. In fact, it is the opposite of right. Here is the truth. The best time to have a running back is the very beginning of his career. And as with all positions, the better ones tend to go earlier in the draft. In fact, taking runners in round one has been proved to be a good idea. It is keeping them that is the biggest mistake in the sport. Here's the deal. 16 running backs were taken round one from 2010 through 19. 10 of those made at least one Pro Bowl. That's over 60%. And they've combined to make 18 so far. Go find any other position with better odds. Actually, don't bother. It doesn't exist. The two preeminent coaches of their generation, Bill Belichick and Andy Reid, they both know a little something about football. They both took running backs in round one in the last 3 years. Belichick took Sony Michel in 2018. He scored 6 touchdowns during their Super Bowl run that year. The point is, a really good running back is an excellent first-round choice. The mistake that teams make is signing them beyond that. Here's why. Of the top 20 running backs last season, 19 of them were within the first 5 years of their career, 5 being the operative word because first-round picks are tied to their teams for exactly that long. Re-signing them beyond that is usually a terrible idea. Let me give you 3 high-profile examples. The Steelers got 5 historic years of production from Le'Veon Bell, then didn't sign him. How does that decision look now? Especially when compared to the Rams, giving Todd Gurley the biggest contract any running back ever got and cutting him 1 year later. Or the Cowboys spending a fortune on Zeke Elliott, who led the league in yards per game before that deal, and saw the number drop to 65 yards per game 2 years later. The answer seems easy to me. Draft the best running backs wherever you need to. And then a few years later, just be prepared to do it again. So that is what I think. And I look up here, Mel Kiper, I wrote that just for you. The floor is yours. Go ahead.
Well, your truth, Greeny, isn't my truth, and you're brilliant most of the time, but not all the time. And this is one case where the analytics has become analytics, and it does lie, and it does mislead you and throw you and put you in the wrong direction. And running backs, historically, you don't need to take them in the first round. It's proven out. Aaron Jones was, what, a fifth-round pick? Derrick Henry, what, a second-round pick? Where was Dalvin Cook taken in the second round? Where was Priest Holmes taken? Well, he wasn't drafted coming out of Texas. Where was Austin Eckler taken? Well, he wasn't drafted. You mentioned the Chiefs. They won a Super Bowl without having a first-round running back. I don't know if that guy was even drafted. So, and Tampa Bay this year, Leonard Fournette, yeah, he was a first-round pick, but he wasn't their first-round pick. He was the Jaguars' first-round pick. Josh Jacobs, really good back with the Raiders. Have they won much? Where's Saquon Barkley with the Giants now? History tells us you can find those running backs from the second round to one. Go back to the Thurman Thomas days, round 2 out of Oklahoma State. You don't need to take them in the first round. Again, the numbers you gave me were analytics that lie. That's why I call them analytics.
Dominique Foxworth, go ahead.
I have to side with old Pumpkin Pie on this one because he's absolutely right. I think that even in the examples you gave, Le'Veon Bell was a second-round pick, and the rushing leader last year was a guy who signed his second deal in Henry. So I think that even Mel went through all the running backs, but I don't even think that's the most damning part about drafting a running back there. It's the opportunity cost. You're arguing that you should draft a running back wherever so you could have him for 5 years, but you could draft a tackle or a receiver or a quarterback or a lineman or a safety who you could have for 10 years. So I think that's the scary part, because you could skip on the running back early, find one in the second, third, fourth round that you could have for 5 years, just like you selected, just like you suggested. And also with your first round pick, grab a corner who could change your defense that you'll have for 8 to 10 years. So I love Greeny. I agree with Mel. You're very smart, and I respect that you're willing to take these chances, because that's how you come up with ingenious ideas, is you got to throw out a few stupid ones every now and then. And this falls in the category of wrong.
Let me just, I'm glad you brought that up. Let me address briefly the idea that you should take a receiver instead. 3 out of every 4 receivers drafted in the first round don't sign a second contract with that team. 6 out of every 10 running backs that are drafted in the first round, running backs, wind up making a Pro Bowl with that team. You tell me which of those odds you like better. Quarterbacks more than half the time don't sign a second contract with their team. Plenty of quarterbacks. We just talked about the quarterbacks. Joe Montana and
that's
Tom Brady,
so
consider the 2 greatest winners of all time, were not first round draft picks.
The reason why it is worth the risk is because you have the potential of being astronomically good with that player, and you're less likely to find them later in the draft. We just pointed out, even the players that you used as examples, some of them were not drafted in the first round. So that's the point. It's understanding the full context of the draft and understanding that there's not a huge amount of value for a running back at that spot. A receiver at that spot, it's a little bit different. I agree with you. I don't love receivers in the first round, but you might end up with Julio Jones. And you're not finding Julio Jones in the 6th round. It's just not happening. And so that's why I would argue that that's the way to go right there. But I want to leave some time for Tim to be the third person to tell you you're wrong.
Go ahead, Tim.
Let me just jump in real quick, Tim.
Ted,
a lot of people in the league, as you know, Tim, think I make a lot of stupid, ridiculous comments. You've been aware of that over the years. You've been around when I've been told I do make stupid, ridiculous comments. But even the league, Tim, now, the league agrees with me. Even McShay agrees with me. A lot of people jumping on that don't take a running back in the first round bandwagon. Go ahead, Tim Hasselbeck.
Go ahead, Tim.
Well, Mel, I agree with you, and I also want to say that nobody wants to get into a game with Mel where you're recalling names from past drafts, because that is a losing proposition for anyone else. Here's what I would say. It's the talent discrepancy from round one, you know, to later rounds is much greater at other positions. It's huge at corner. It's huge at wide receiver, to Dominique's point. It's huge at tackle, at position, at pass rusher. It's the difference in talent from round one to other rounds. Whereas when you look at recent drafts, Jonathan Taylor, Cam Akers, Nick Chubb, never mind going back further, you know, to the LeSean McCoys, to the, you know, guys like Matt Forte and Jamal Charles. To me, that's the difference, is that you can find running backs, really good ones, and have good success, you know, in other rounds. You just don't have that same type of hit rate at other positions later in the draft.
You're right. Yeah, DK Metcalf and Deebo Samuel, all those guys were obviously first-round draft picks at wide receiver. All the best ones always are. Listen, I think there's only one thing that we can conclude from this. I've said it before, and I'll say it again.
Oh, gosh.
Like most geniuses, I will not be fully appreciated until long after my time. We will leave it there for the moment. We'll come back with more. Oh, a reminder, we got baseball coming your way tonight on ESPN. We got the first of a four-game series between Chris Bryant and the Cubs and Ronald Acuna Jr. and the Braves. First pitch scheduled for just after 7 Eastern. That's tonight right here on ESPN. Coming up, the 49ers moved up to get their quarterback of the future. Question is, who are they going to take? We've got the very latest next. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
For the 42nd straight year, the NFL Draft is on ESPN. It's also on NFL Network, and the Game Day crew will be on ABC again this year, covering from the college perspective. It comes your way Thursday, Friday, and Saturday with all 3 days. Also on ESPN Deportes, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app. Meanwhile, First Take is coming up. With the Lakers struggling, does LeBron need to come back as soon as possible? Plus, should KD and Kyrie regret passing on the Knicks? First Take just minutes away. Stephen A. Max and Molly here on ESPN.
I can't eat sweet potato pie, and it was mistakenly marked. You thought what makes me mad? That makes me mad when I get my fat-free whipped cream ready.
The poll should be pumpkin versus sweet potato pie. And who goes with fat-free whipped cream?
It tastes like pumpkin pie. What is this? It's sweet potato pie.
If you're going in for dessert, you go in for dessert. You don't fat-free the whipped cream.
Now, don't eat the crust on the pie. Don't eat the crust.
What are you doing?
He's just a unique man. Well, I can tell you this, Dominique, that America agrees, at least on my Twitter feed, with Mel Kiper, 75% voting pumpkin over sweet potato pie in my Twitter poll. What do you think, Dominique?
I'm disappointed. I mean, this is obviously a two America situation, and we know who's following Greeny now, because my poll is entirely different. It's a different poll. Sweet potato wins in my poll a time.
Okay, fair enough. But Mel, right now, Mel, pumpkin pie for breakfast every single day, that's on top. That wasn't the only poll question I have up. In fact, I've got another one up there, and this one involves football. At ESPN Greeny on Twitter, 60% of those who have responded say that the 49ers should take Justin Fields. 22% say Mac Jones. 18% say Trey Lance. Let me bring the crew back in there, or in here. Diana, so my followers say that the 49ers should take Justin Fields. What are you hearing they're actually going to do?
Yeah, during commercial break, I take all your polls, Dom and yours. So that's the one really answering all the questions there. But here's what I know right now. That's the 49ers have yet to make a decision. They've been spending the weekend and even last week mulling over what they wanted to do. When they made the trade, they had their eyes on Mac Jones. Then they started to do more work. They attended pro days. And now they're trying to come up with who they think is the best quarterback for them. So we probably won't know any more until Thursday night.
It's fascinating that that's where they chose to go up to, if that's the player they were originally targeting, because it's not clear to me that they would have to have gone up that high necessarily if that's who they wanted. I don't know that other teams would be grabbing him there. But let me go to the other three of you here quickly for final thoughts on this. Mel, I'll start with you again. You're synonymous with the draft. If you were making that pick for John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan on Thursday night, who would it be?
And to Diana's point, that mulling period can't last much longer, but I would take Justin Fields. I think you got to go with the guy that I think is the second best quarterback in the draft. I don't know what he's done wrong to not be the second best quarterback in the draft. Two, I call them hiccups against Indiana Northwestern, one of which he wasn't even 100% in. They didn't have Chris Olave, yet you overlook and forget about what he was in 2019 when he was great. And he was really good this year. Keep in mind, he didn't lose many games either. And he outplayed Trevor Lawrence in the semifinal game and played through a significant amount of pain in that football game. So, like I say, for Justin, I think it helps him. He comes in with a chip. He left Georgia. Yeah, he was the second quarterback to Trevor. Like I said, those quarterbacks that slipped just a bit, it gives him added motivation. He's got a ton of talent. I would go with Justin Fields.
How about you, Tim Hasselbeck? You're making the pick for San Francisco. Who is going to be?
Justin Fields as well. I agree with Mel on it. There's so much to like about him. I feel like for some reason, the guy that we've seen in the big program, you know, kind of right under our nose for whatever reason, you know, the things that flaws that I guess people found about him. And it's not the case with maybe some of these other guys. To me, it's Fields. It would kind of be an easy one for me, to be honest with you. Now, I will say this. I feel pretty strongly that it is not the pick. They won't do that, but I do think that he would be a great fit in their offense.
How about you, Nick?
Yeah, I'm not going to mix it up too much. I'm going Justin Fields also, but I do have to, if they go with Mac Jones, if the 49ers go with Mac Jones, have to give him some respect, because part of the reason why I think a lot of us would go with Justin Fields is that's the consensus, and you look real dumb if you go outside of the consensus and you're wrong. If you stay with the consensus and you're wrong, then everyone blames Justin Fields. They don't blame you. If Mac Jones is a failure, everyone's going to blame Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. So it's a little bit gutsy to do this move, even though I think it's the wrong one to make.
Well, I've been going against the consensus all my life. So far, it's worked out, and I'll do it again. I think they're going to take Trey Lance, and I think they'll play Jimmy G one more year ahead of him. Thanks for getting up with us. Thank you for getting up with us. See you tomorrow. First Take starts now.